Are you ready to unlock a secret to youthful vitality? Meet MitoPure, the revolutionary Urolithin A supplement from Timeline Nutrition. MitoPure ignites your body's natural anti-aging pathway, mitophagy. As we age, our cells can become damaged and dysfunctional. But with MitoPure, you can recycle these worn-out cells. MitoPure is a clinically validated solution backed by over 15 years of robust scientific research. Boost your cellular energy, enhance muscle strength and endurance, and even fight skin aging, all without changing your diet or exercise routine. I discovered MitoPure a couple of years ago after diving into the science of Urolithin A. Since then, it's become a vital part of my wellness routine. For more information and to order, visit timeline.com/Hoffman. Use code Hoffman at checkout to receive 10% off MitoPure. Whether you're looking to support muscle health, enhance your skin routine, or invest in your long-term vitality, MitoPure is your scientifically backed ally in the quest for slowing down the aging process. That's timeline.com/Hoffman for MitoPure.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Weighs In podcast here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast Network. Thank you for joining me. And if you'd like to email me with any questions or any topics that you'd like to listen to me weigh in on or comment or your own experiences that might be interesting and pertinent to this podcast, please email me questions@drhoffman.net. That is questions@drhoffman.net. I've been talking to you in previous podcasts because the holidays are upon us. And I know you're getting this. This is being dropped right before Thanksgiving. And I know we've talked a lot about GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, like Mounjaro, the semaglutides. These show promise, they're finding out, in reducing opioid overdose and alcohol intoxication rates. And I think it's apropos to bring it up now because we're on holiday season where everyone is known to overindulge to some extent with something, right? So this is interesting stuff. It's about reducing the craving, the GLP-1s, the Ozempic, the Mounjaro, not just for food, but also for alcohol, also for opioids, which is interesting. There was a recent study published in Addiction. The journal Addiction suggests that medications commonly prescribed for diabetes and obesity may also significantly reduce the risk of opioid overdose and alcohol intoxication in individuals with substance use disorders. The study, which is the largest of its kind to date, highlights the potential of glucagon-like peptide 1 receptor agonists, that is the GLP-1, glucagon-like peptide 1 receptor agonists, RAs, and glucose-dependent insulinotropic polypeptide, GIP agonists, to offer a novel approach to addressing opioid use disorder and alcohol use disorder. Researchers analyzed data from over 500,000 individuals with opioid use disorder and nearly 1 million individuals with alcohol use disorder. And the study found that individuals with OUD, which is opioid use disorder, who were prescribed GLP-1 RAs or GIP agonists experienced a 40% lower rate, of opioid overdose. That's significant. 40%, that's almost half a reduced rate of opioid overdose. Similarly, individuals with AUD, which is alcohol use disorder, who are on the same medications, had a 50%, a true half, lower rate of alcohol intoxication compared to those not prescribed the medications. The overlap between addiction and the brain's reward system may explain this effect. The GLP-1 receptor agonists like Ozempic and the GIP agonists like Mounjaro interact with the mesolimbic system, the brain region responsible for reward and addictive behaviors. This is where dopamine is hitting, right? These medications were originally designed to treat diabetes and weight-related conditions by reducing appetite and promoting a sense of satisfaction. And they are doing that. At some expense for those experiencing side effects, but I don't want to digress here. The mesolimbic system's involvement in both eating behaviors and substance use suggests that GLP-1 receptor agonists could influence the reward pathways associated with addiction. While previous studies have primarily focused on animal models and small-scale clinical trials, this study represents a major step forward in understanding how these medications might be applied to substance use disorders. The researchers analyzed 503,747 individuals with opioid use disorder and 817,309 individuals with alcohol use disorder, providing robust evidence that GLP-1 and GIP medications, that's Ozempic and Mounjaro respectively, could play a critical role in reducing the harmful consequences of opioid and alcohol misuse. So the study's findings are offering hope for a new therapeutic avenue in treating substance use disorders. However, researchers, as they usually say, they said further research is needed to explore the long-term effects of these medications in substance use disorder treatment and to determine their full potential as part of a comprehensive approach to addiction care. This is interesting. I love that another option is offered here for those who are really suffering with either opioid use disorder or alcohol use disorder. And we're talking about people who are binging, not just those who are dependent. Like if it's opioids, you would be dependent. With alcoholism, you would be dependent, right? So I like that there is another offering here. And I know that there are many of you who are taking Ozempic and Mounjaro to great benefit in your weight loss efforts. It will be interesting to know if you're feeling the same kind of reduced craving for use of any substance or use of alcohol even. If alcohol was a major player in your life or more of a minor player in your life, that with less food on the brain, as is described to me by users of Ozempic and Mounjaro, these semaglutides, if that is happening, you have less food on the brain, do you have less alcohol on the brain or look forward to happy hour? Has that kind of gone down in your experience? It would be interesting to hear. if it's had an effect in your craving for scotch or a cocktail or wine or anything that you would normally consume if you're on any of these medications. Because that could be something. And again, we always want to be aware of side effects. These drugs are not for everybody. And I've seen side effects happen in people, as much as not just nausea, but really chronic intolerable nausea as well as vomiting. Some people have vomited. They've had to stop using the drug. Some people just wanted it so badly because they really wanted to lose the weight that they dealt with it. And I think over time, some of the side effects as your body is trying to adapt to anything we give it, right?
Bless it.
That some of the nausea may just remain low-grade chronic, but less vomiting. Some people will have chronic constipation, gastroparesis. These are things that may lead to a medical emergency. We don't know. And that is rare. Having said that, that is a rare occurrence. I don't want to take the hope away from those of you who have tried these or are on these with great success. Fantastic. Bravo. I think it's great. And I know there are many out there who are using these drugs as a last resort. And interestingly, there have been cases in the past of those people in the context of bariatric surgery where they've had stomach bypass and things like that, because they could not ingest any large amounts of food anymore. There were a minority of people who turned to alcohol because they could drink it. It would be rapidly absorbed, which was interesting. That same kind of reward pathway. That was a very interesting phenomenon that happens in some people who got gastric bypass in their weight loss efforts, right? That there was then an addiction to alcohol for a period of time. Anyway, more power to those who are using these with success. I want to go to something else here. This is a case study. And it's a case study in menopause, where how a doctor may deal with somebody experiencing some side effects or some symptoms of menopause. Here it is, and what I might do differently. And this is coming from integrative practitioner. I like integrative practitioner, the journal. They offer some really good insights. Here it is. Valerie is a 51-year-old menopausal lady suffering severe fatigue, insomnia, palpitations, and hot flashes. She was concerned about her sleep, fatigue, which was affecting her work. She also wanted to look further at her risk for dementia and cardiovascular events and mitigate those as best as she could. As one parent had recently suffered a stroke and the other had been diagnosed with moderate Alzheimer's disease. Good for Valerie for being proactive and for being concerned and not putting these symptoms, not sweeping them aside. So, having recently been offered statins by her primary care practitioner, she wanted to try and improve things naturally and avoid medications where possible. You know, being offered a statin at age 51, yeah, you may wind up with dementia by the time you're 70. Exactly what you don't want. It is possible on a statin. So what Valerie did is she had recently switched to a clean, gluten-free, and dairy-free, whole food, primarily plant-based diet. Low in grains, rich in omega-3 fatty acids, and had recently given up alcohol. These are all steps in the right direction. She'd been experiencing recurrent palpitations triggered by stress, and worsened by insomnia episodes and cold weather. So according to this doctor writing up this case study, this doctor noticed her skin and hair were dry and flaky. Circulation was poor, as her hands were extremely cold, and although body temperature was warm and clammy, she had difficulty finding words, and her tongue indicated poor assimilation of nutrients and underlying anxiety. Valerie had no issues going to sleep, but often found she woke up early and felt unrefreshed. So this doctor, in this case study, goes to the key organs and systems to address were hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis and her nervous system. Peripheral circulation was poor, contributing to poorly nourished tissues. And what this practitioner here is doing in this case study is reaching for herbal formula recommendations, which is fine. There were adaptogens, there were herbs for menopausal symptoms containing phytoestrogenic compounds and things. There were other tinctures, certain things that had a calming nervine with an affinity for women, good for cardiovascular symptoms. This is all herbal formula recommendations, which akin to pharmaceutical recommendations, that would be it. But some of these other symptoms she would having would lead me first to investigate if she had any deficiency of minerals. Maybe she was low in vitamin A, the dry, flaky skin. Maybe she was low in iron. Maybe she was low in amino acids. Maybe she didn't have enough amino acids, iron, vitamin A, zinc to support her thyroid. I would first look to see if there were any nutrient deficiencies and correct those. And switching to a clean, gluten-free, dairy-free, whole foods diet is fantastic. Low in grains is fantastic. Rich in omega-3 fatty acids is great. But primarily plant-based leads me to believe that there was low animal protein, which is exactly where you don't want to go as you get older. Valerie being a 51-year-old menopausal lady. She needs the protein to help support her muscles, her bones, as well as her thyroid, and to get that iron necessary to support all of that and her thyroid and circulation, all of the above. She might feel better and have less menopausal symptoms as a result. If she was suffering from severe fatigue, maybe she had low iron. Maybe the fatigue and the insomnia had to do with hypothyroidism. But you have to look at what supports thyroid first and make sure those essential vitamins and minerals are there, that she's not deficient, before going to an herbal or pharmaceutical remedy. See, this is where integrative practitioners, I think, are kind of moving towards the pharmaceutical industry in terms of using herbs and things. Yes, I'm a big fan, but I think there's a big hole in this case study. I would first look for deficiencies and replete those deficiencies. And if Valerie's primarily plant-based diet is very low in animal protein, this is an area that will cause more deficiencies in future. This is not the way I would go. This is not the diet I would recommend. Rich in omega-3s, absolutely I recommend. Gluten-free, dairy-free, low in grains, I absolutely recommend all of that. But a crucial part of this that is missing, that I see the bent towards more vegetarian or veganism here, is not going to be beneficial for Valerie going forward as a woman in her 50s now who has things to support that maybe a 25, 30-year-old woman did not need to address earlier in their lives. We need to suppress, we need to support our thyroid. We need to support all these systems. We need to confirm that there's enough iron to support all of that. If Valerie has a ferritin level of less than 100, that could be a reason for the fatigue, for any insomnia, or any of the issues that may be promoting hypothyroidism that may be causing these symptoms. And not just readily treating with herbal remedies. I think the herbal remedies are great, but again, we need to look for deficiencies first. It could be that simple that we take care of that matter, see how she is over the course of maybe 8 weeks to see if her symptoms get better. And if not, and we've seen that all of her micronutrients have been repleted, that she has the necessary nutrition, then I would go the route of herbal remedies and adaptogens, right? That's how I would do that. We have to first see what's missing. We have to first see what's not there and take care of that before moving on. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Intelligent Medicine.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mutin, registered dietitian nutritionist. I maintain a private practice and see patients regularly. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone and telehealth consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.